Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Quick question for you. How many of you in here own a pair of cowboy boots? Just raise your hand. How many of you in here, not so much, not ever owned them, not ever going to own them? Thank you very much. Okay, excellent, excellent. Let me ask you this question. Does anybody know the difference if you do happen to own a pair of cowboy boots? Or even if you don't own a pair of cowboy boots, do you know the difference between store-bought and custom-made?
Yes.
Yes, some of you are going, well, I don't know. Well, my granddaddy Ford was a big believer in custom boots. And the person that he bought his boots from was a man named M.L. Letty. M.L. Letty. Anybody in here ever heard of M.L. Letty boots? Yep, there's a few of you in here. True Texans. If you're going to live in Texas, you need to know just a little bit about M.L. Letty boots. So watch this.
In 1922, M.L. Letty had a plan. Open up a boot shop in Brady, Texas. He did, but the plan didn't stop there. Over the next few years, he moved his shop where he crafted handmade boots from the heart of Texas to Menar. Then a few years later, to San Angelo, where it's remained since 1932. Now the third generation of the family is managing the store, which has since opened locations in Fort Worth and temporary shops during major rodeos, including Houston and the national finals in Las Vegas. Why stay in the family business?
Because we owe it to our family and our relatives that aren't in the business anymore and that have passed on to carry this name out.
Speaking of names, the folks at M.L. Letty's have made boots and saddles for a few you might recognize.
Yes, we've made boots for presidents and all kinds of famous actors. And in my father's days, we did Elvis Presley and Elizabeth Taylor, and we've done both Bushes. But they're no more important than that Menard County cowboy that has to pay that boot out, and they have to wait that year and a half just like everybody else.
Consistency is just one of the traits practiced by the employees who are called family at the company. And it's not just employees who earn that title. Customers are considered part of the lineage too. It's part of a mindset that some might call old school. But here, the golden rule is a standing lesson.
Because if you don't do that for one customer, why would you do it for the next? That's part of why we can still be here and keep doing this and remake that boot if we need to, because we won't sacrifice our integrity.
While making products by hand is becoming less common and often seen as a dying art form, tradition is at the very heart of M.L. Letty's legacy.
There's people that come by every day to offer a machine, a computer that can do away with two or three people, and we just tell them to move on. The good Lord's given us this. This works, and don't change it.
Something that does change, the variety and design of boots. Thousands of combinations are possible, and it's all left up to the customer.
Bottom line, whatever leather, color, or design you can dream up, M.L. Letty's can make it a reality. Sonora Scott, Fox News First.
So these are a pair of my granddaddy Ford's M.L. Letty boots. They were custom made for him by Mr. Letty, by hand. And then when my granddad died, my brother and my sister and I each got a pair of his boots. And so these boots sit on one of the shelves in my office. These are a pair that, I mean, he had like going out on the town M.L. Letty boots, and then he also had work at the farm. Letty boots. These were work at the farm M.L. Letty boots. I mean, if you inspect these, I've never cleaned them up. They've still got a little bit of remnant of the farm there, and you're going, what part of the remnant? Not that part, okay? Just like some dirt and stuff like that. But they're scuffed up. They're used. They've been worn. But I'm telling you, there's one foot that's ever walked this earth that fits, custom fit, and it's my granddaddy's. And those are his boots right there. M.L. Letty made those boots. Custom made boots, custom fit boots. And as I as I think about these custom-made, custom-fit ML Letty boots, I'm reminded of something that the Apostle Paul wrote about concerning the footwear of followers of Jesus. And we want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, if you're turning on your Bible, Ephesians 6. If you're opening the Bible in the row in front of you, Ephesians 6 is going to be on page 979. Page 979 is where Ephesians 6 will be found. Ephesians, as you're finding it in your Bible, Ephesians is actually a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the followers of Jesus who made up the church. In that town of Ephesus, back in the middle of the first century, the Apostle Paul helped plant that church on one of his first missionary journeys. Continued to invest in this group of young Christians as they developed in their faith and as they tried to mature as a church family. And so, as we read through Ephesians 6 and Paul's letter, Paul wraps up this letter that he's been writing, and he talks about the importance it is for followers of Jesus to put on what he calls the full armor of God. What he's talking about when he references the full armor of God, what he has in mind is an armor that actually goes from head to toe in a warrior or in a soldier who is getting ready for battle. And so this armor of God, he says, we need to put on from head to toe every day as we head out to live on mission as followers of Jesus who are trying to love their neighbor and bless the city and make disciples. And so Paul, as he's writing this letter, is helping his friends in Ephesus to remember that being a follower of Jesus is not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday, all day, 365 day kind of a thing. It's a lifestyle. And so as you read through Ephesians, Paul is encouraging these followers of Jesus to walk out into life, into the different domains of society, wherever you may work or play, or wherever you go to school, whatever you find yourself in, whatever domain of society you find yourself in, wherever you live, whoever your neighbors are, and wherever you go, you're to share the gospel. That certainly is verbally. That's also incarnationally. What do I mean by that? That's just how you live. That's how you walk around. That's how you do life. When everybody's looking and when nobody's looking. In public and in private. It's an all the time kind of a life that he's talking about here. And as you begin to take steps to live on mission all the time, in private and in public, you just need to be aware that you and I have a real enemy. His name's Satan. He's going to try to take you out, take me out, shut you up, shut me up. He's going to try to cause us to cower in fear, to hide the light of Christ in some kind of a private only faith that God never intended to be private only. Yes, he intends for you to go into your prayer closet at home, as he talks about in Matthew. But he expects you to come out and to put that lamp, that light out so that everybody has an opportunity to see it. Not just your family who lives behind closed doors with you, but where you work, where you go to school, the team that you play on, the yoga class that you're in, the grocery store that you shop at, wherever it happens to be. Your faith is to be on full display and to come out of your mouth as you move from the walls of your home and into the public square of life. And so Paul, in this letter, is telling these friends, hey, before you head out into the public square of life each day to live as a follower of Jesus, be sure that you get fully dressed. That's a good thing, by the way, to get fully dressed before you go, okay, tomorrow's Monday. Make sure you're fully dressed, okay? But what Paul is reminding us of is not just fully dressed, but fully armored. from head to toe. Let the armor of God be a part of your daily wardrobe. So let's pick it up in verse 10. We'll read through verse 20 to get the full context, and then we'll see the tie-in to one of the verses in here that made me think about these custom-made Letty boots. Let's read beginning in verse 10. The Apostle Paul's writing, he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." Isn't it great that you don't have to go to work tomorrow in the strength of your own might? You don't have to try to be who God's called you to be in your own power. That just wears you out and gets you mad, cranky, and disenfranchised with this whole thing. But if you can begin to walk in the power of His might and His strength, that's a game changer. That is a total game changer. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." My friend reminded me, if you can touch it, it's not the enemy. If you can touch it, it's not the enemy. We're talking about an enemy that's unseen. The spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So it's not that cranky neighbor who won't take their trash out. Just saying. If you can touch it, it's not the enemy. Verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Does this feel like the evil day sometimes? Yeah, we need to make sure we're armored up. "And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Here it comes, verse 15. "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Let's keep going. "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith." See, right there, it means it's not just a Sunday thing, it's an all the time thing. "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." Even the addiction that's got you wrapped up, even that one. That you think there's no way I can ever break this. Yeah, you can. You can't in the power of your own might, but you can in the power of His might. And there's a difference. There's a difference. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Look back at verse 15, would you? Verse 15, man, in my clergy renewal leave, this verse of this imagery that Paul is writing about really resonated with me. I actually was reading a devotional on that particular day. It was back in May, and it talked about, told this story about this guy who was trying to get away on horseback back in the Middle Ages, and he was being chased by men on horses, and he had to go get his horse's hooves reshod. That's not a word we use a whole lot. I dare you to try to work in the word shod this week. See how many times you can work the word shod in. To shod one's feet or to shod the hoof of a horse is to work and make sure it's custom fit really, really well, so that the footwear, whether that's a horseshoe or whether that's a shoe that you're wearing, fits well. Custom fit. Shod. Shod. Let's look on verse 15 here about what Paul talks about there concerning our footwear. the footwear portion of our wardrobe armor, if we want to live, if we want to stand our ground, and then begin to really walk forward in the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with the grace and the truth of Jesus. See, if you're not careful, you'll hear me say armor up, and that means to go out and start slaying everybody who thinks differently than you. That's not the gospel, by the way. It's hard to love your neighbor when you're beating them to death with truth. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to stand our ground and love well, serve well. Maybe it's to stand our ground so that we can grab a towel and a wash basin and serve our neighbor well, serve our family well, serve that person who votes differently than you and who's looking at the articles online going, see, see, and you're going, no, 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 read this one, see, see, no, 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 no. Love your neighbor. Pray for those who persecute you. Feet shod well, custom fit. As we head out each day to walk through life into the public square, following Jesus and pointing people to him. Look at verse 15. It says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Real interesting imagery here. War imagery. If we think of modern day war, we think of the transport vehicles that transport soldiers from one part of the battle to another part of the battle and then allow them to get out and do what they need to do. And those military vehicles are such a part of success in the battle. What those military vehicles today are for success in battle, the footwear of a soldier in the first century was. That first century footwear was critical, critical to success in battle. I'm telling you, without proper footwear, that soldier had no chance to survive, let alone win. I love the way that the New International Version, the NIV of the Bible, translates verse 15. Look what it says. It's on the screen here. And with your feet, what does that say? Fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Let me just ask you a question. Have you ever worn a shoe that doesn't fit properly? Oh man, some of you are wearing them right now because it's the only thing that goes with what you're wearing. And I'm just telling you, relax. Live by what I live by. Comfortable shoes. Life is too short not to wear comfortable shoes. You go, well, I don't look good in those kind of shoes. Come on. Come on. I mean, you wear bad shoes, you're going to get blisters. Ill-fitting shoes cause your feet to hurt. If they're too small, they're going to pinch your toes. If they're too big, you can't walk correctly because you're trying not to walk out of your shoes and you're flipping and flopping everywhere you're going, trying to keep your shoes on. Life's too short to wear uncomfortable shoes. Having shoes fit properly is a really big deal, especially if you're talking about the shoe imagery here that Paul's talking about when he's writing this part of the letter of Ephesians. See, he's writing in this metaphorical imagery, and he's got a soldier in mind, probably a Roman soldier, who would have to have adequate footwear if that soldier was going to do his job and be able to move quickly at a moment's notice. Kind of depending on how heavily armed the soldier was, depended on what kind of footwear that soldier might be shod with on that day. See how I worked that in? Isn't that neat? Yeah, that's one for me and none for you. Okay. See, lightly armed soldiers, they had to move very, very quickly. They would wear more of a sandal more of a sandal like this, okay? Maybe you've seen them that come up over their calves and they're tied up there. There's different kinds of lightly armed soldier footwear. But if you were a more heavily armed soldier, those Roman soldiers known as the legionnaires, they wore heavier boots called the caligas. The caligas are much stronger made, a much more well-fitted, shotted, I used it again, shotted foot. But you see there on the bottom, those are spikes or metal studs. You know what those metal studs were for? It was for standing their ground, to be able to dig in, to be able to get their footing. Now, those aren't a pair of custom-made Letty boots, but they were war sandals, war boots that were necessary for long marches, fitted with those spikes to help the soldiers gain traction when they were headed to war and then advance and move on the offensive. The ancient historian Josephus describes these kind of boots as, quote, shoes thickly studded with sharp nails so as to ensure a good grip. As I was studying about footwear here in this part of Paul's letter, I read all kinds of ancient historians and scholars who would talk about the footwear of different groups, different armies. And one that I read was in particular of interest. He said this, quote, "The military successes both of Alexander the Great and of Julius Caesar were due in large measure to their armies being well," say it with me, "shod." Well shod and thus able to undertake long marches at incredible speed over rough terrain. Well shod means they weren't necessarily wearing Letty boots, but they had some shoes that fit properly and they could move and go do their job with excellence. And they won. They won. They won. Let me ask you a question. What if part of you feeling like you're winning in life, you being able to have the confidence that you're gaining ground instead of losing ground in this season of your life, you being able to be who God created you and desired for you to be in this season of life has a lot to do with what you're walking around in day after day and how you're walking through life based on what kind of news you're sharing. What if those things went together? Let me ask you another question. Who are you allowing to custom fit your life right now? I mean, when you head into a new day, what are you pulling on and lacing up to go walk in? Obviously, I'm not talking about a literal shoe, but I'm talking about something that's fitting around your soul, fitting around your mind, fitting around your heart, fitting around you. Look again at verse 15. "And with your feet," say it with me, "fitted with the readiness that comes from" where? "The gospel of," say it with me, "peace." See, there's a lot of gospels out there, and they're not all good news. So what gospel are you being custom fit with each day? Is it a gospel of truth or a gospel of half-truths? Which if it's a gospel of half-truths, then it means it's a gospel of full lies. See, are you getting up every day and putting on and listening to and being custom fit with a gospel of dysfunction? Because that's all you've ever really known in your family situation, in your family dynamic? Is it a gospel of confusion that you're lacing up every day? Is it a gospel of chaos? Is it a gospel that says you have to do this, this, and this to be loved? It's part of why every single day I make it part of my mission to tell Allison that she's beautiful, to tell Lucy that she's beautiful, to tell Jack that I'm so proud of him. Why? Because God wired women to have somebody tell them they're beautiful. And God wired men to have somebody over them tell them, I'm proud of you. And as their father and as her husband, I want them to know the truth in that measure every single day. So that when they hear something to the contrary, they're going, that's not what my father says. That's not what my groom says. And isn't it interesting that Jesus talks in groom-bride imagery and in father-child imagery? And I want to be a representation as best I can of the truth with the responsibilities that I've been given. What have you been given? What are you custom fitting your life with day after day? Is it a gospel? Are you listening to a gospel that keeps pressuring you to try things that you don't feel comfortable trying? Or a gospel that's saying your belief system is too narrow. You need to be more accepting and tolerant. And you don't have a lot to say, but you're thinking, but what you're asking me to be open and accepting and tolerant of, what I understand is the truth, says something different. Jesus said, those who abide in my word will be my disciples, and then they will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll set them free. And Paul's talking about pulling on and lacing up each day a gospel of what? Of peace. You go, what's the gospel of peace? Well, the gospel of peace is the message that we cling to and that we put on and that we walk around and share with others. It's the gospel of the reality that because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can experience peace with God and peace with others. You go, where does it talk about that? Just a couple of chapters earlier. Look in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Paul's writing. He's going to talk about what this gospel of peace is. In verse 12, we'll pick it up kind of in the middle there. He's writing, he says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, here's the gospel of peace. For he himself is our, what? Say it with me. Peace. Who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. Why? That he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. And might reconcile us both to God in one body through what? Through the cross. Not through church attendance, not through being good, not through what family you were brought up in, not through how much money you give to God through the church, but through the cross. thereby killing the hostility. And he came and he preached what? Peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. That's what we're putting on. That's what he wants to custom fit our life with, that we might share it wherever we go. See, what Jesus did on the cross, it enabled all people in all places, all cultures, all socioeconomic statuses, every person, because of what Jesus did on the cross, he enabled all people not only to receive, but also to enjoy peace with God. And the gospel of peace that Paul's talking about, that we are to put on, to lace up as part of our daily armor, our daily footwear that allows us then to walk out in confidence, not in chaos. And walk around in and keep our footing with, and not just fall down or fall over or get overcome by the battles of life. The gospel of peace is about a gospel that enables us to have peace with a holy God. I love what I heard Steve Stroop say one time about having peace with God. He pointed to another passage that Paul wrote concerning peace. It's on the screen. Look at it with me if you would. It's in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And here's what Paul writes in Romans 5, 1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have, say it with me, peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that is where peace begins. Let me draw it out for you. I've drawn it for you before, but sometimes just seeing it fresh and new. I'll draw it over here, and my office got a little flooded over the weekend, so that's what this is over here. This was on the floor next to the window where the water came in. I'll draw it here. I know on the other side you might not be able to see it real well, but I'll pop it off of here and bring it to you. So peace begins with God. The scripture begins with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, that says, In the beginning, who?
God.
God. So we're going to put God right over here, okay? In the beginning, God. What did God do? God created. He created the heavens and the earth. If you keep reading in Genesis chapter 1 and you move into Genesis chapter 2, we read how he created everything. He created the whole world, the heavens above, the seas below. He created everything on it, trees and grass and chameleons and grasshoppers and birds and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, yes, he created everything. And one of God's creation, his crown of creation, he said, I'm going to create human beings. I'm going to create human beings in my own image. He started off by creating man, and then he said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he took a rib after he put Adam, the first created man, to a deep sleep, and he created out of Adam woman. And when Adam woke up, he said, whoa, man. That's a good creation right there. I'm kind of liking this. And God said, wait, here's what I want you to do. I've created this for you to enjoy, and for you to enjoy me, and for you to enjoy one another as a man and a woman. Man and a woman. Man and a woman. I created you two to enjoy each other. And you take care of this. Just don't eat from that tree right there. If you eat from that tree right there, you'll be disobeying me and you will die. And in comes the enemy in the form of a serpent. And in a quiet conversation at just the right time, he said, did God really say that? He goes, yeah, he did. Surely you won't die. See, God created mankind. If you get to about Genesis chapter 3, they disobeyed God. And anything you do that is not what God wants you to do, say, or think is called sin. And what sin does is sin separates us from a holy God. You see that? You see that? So God, in the beginning, created mankind and said, enjoy, but stay away from that. If you stay away from that, you're good. If you don't, you'll die. And they did exactly what God told them not to do, and thus they sinned. Sin is spelled S-I-N. Let's focus in on that letter right there. Just get a good look at that. See, we get separated from God when we think, I'm going to be in charge of my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be my own God. I know better than God. And what we do when we think, I gets in the center and God gets pushed to the side. And when God gets pushed to the side, we start losing traction. We start getting defeated. We start lacing up lies that God never intended to form fit our life. And so we try to start doing things when we feel far from God, and we start coming to church more. We start trying to be better more often, or give more, or this, that, and the other. And none of that can get us back to God. Religious determination never builds the bridge back to holy God. It just makes you tired and angry. The only bridge that is able to bring God back to the center of our lives, once sin has separated us, and that's everybody, you and me alike, the only way that we can get back to God is if somebody closes the gap, builds the bridge. And the person who built the bridge is named Jesus. Jesus made a way for us to get back to God. And the place that he did it was on a cross. And so when we're talking about the gospel of peace, that's the gospel we're talking about. That's the gospel that gives us traction. That's the gospel that allows us to stand firm and to move forward. As we just read in Romans 5:1, it is through Jesus that we have peace with God. So if we desire to be people who have peace in our world, it's going to start when you and I have a personal peace with God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah talked about that in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Look what it says. It's on the screen. But he, the suffering servant, pointing to Jesus, he was pierced, boom, boom, boom. He was pierced for our transgressions. That's just a big word for sin. He was crushed for our iniquities. Iniquities is just a big word for sin. And upon him, Jesus, was the chastisement that what? It brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. And so when you and I make a choice to put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, and what he did when he suffered and bled and died on the cross to forgive us from our sin that separated us from holy God, that's when you and I can begin to have peace with God. peace with God begins at the cross. Would you just take an out loud note with me and say that with me on three? One, two, three. Peace with God begins at the cross. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, the Apostle Paul says that this peace is a gospel message that we need to walk around in and allow it to help us get traction in life, proper footing as we move through our lives. No matter where we go, no matter what we're going through, Jesus desires to custom fit that kind of peace as part of our wardrobe for daily living and daily conquering. And as you and I wear peace well, as we walk as people of peace, do you know what we become candidates of? We become candidates to be blessed as followers of Jesus, as representatives of His kingdom that is coming and that is being done right here, right now, on earth, as it is where? In heaven. This is a heaven on earth kind of a peace that we get to walk around in. And when we wear it well, Jesus says this about those kinds of people. In the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." So let me just ask you, are you a peacemaker or a peace taker? I'm a peacemaker too. Do you make peace or you make trouble when you walk into a room? I mean, when people think about you, do they primarily think about what you're for or what you're against? What have you been pulling on and lacing up and walking around in lately, in your everyday walking around life? Are you lacing up negativity? Are you lacing up fear? Are you lacing up anxiety? Are you lacing up pessimism? Are you lacing up criticism? Are you lacing up trouble? Did you know none of those things are labeled as fruits of the Spirit? But peace is. Peace is. And peace is something that we can put on and lace up and walk around in because it's first been put there by the Spirit of God when we put our faith, hope, and trust in Him. And I'm telling you, Jesus wants to custom fit your life with peace that only comes from Him. And it surpasses all of our understanding, and yet everybody wants to taste it and experience it for themselves. So let me just ask you, will you be a peacemaker this week? By what you say, how you respond, by what you post? Are you posting peace or posting thing that will put people in pieces? By how you help, by where you choose to invest your time? See, somebody in here may want to take the Love Your Neighbor opportunity, and the person over at International Leadership of Texas Charter School, our neighbor, Maria, right here, Maria Garcia, the community liaison, is saying, we've got refugee students who now are a part of ILT just across the street, and they need somebody to come during the day and read with them and read to them and be read to. And if you were to do that by calling her, what you would be offering is some peace. Some peace. Dan and Lori, Lyles, cares team leaders at Apartment Life right across the way at the Equinox apartment, had about 30 people last night, an ice cream social. All throughout October, they'll have opportunities for their neighbors who live in their apartment complex to come and to connect. And you and I can be a part and help and bring peace into situations. Dan was telling me about an incredible conversation that he's been in with somebody that is coming to peace with God. How are you going to serve? How are you going to help? How you serve and how you help may bring peace. And do you know that if you ask the Lord each day to help you live on mission, what you'll begin to do is find yourself walking into conversation that you can bring peace to?
and share peace with. And if you do that, if you begin to share a gospel of peace rather than some other gospel of negativity and criticism and fear and anxiety or whatever else you have the opportunity to spout besides a gospel of peace, if you will begin to share the gospel of peace and about how to have peace with God, do you know what your feet will be called in heaven? Beautiful. You go, but I got ugly, gnarly toes. It doesn't matter. If you're bringing peace, Isaiah 52:7 says this, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him or her who brings good news, who publishes what? Are you a beautiful foot kind of person? It doesn't matter what your toes look like. You don't have to go get a mani-pedi before you bring peace. Just bring peace. The gospel of peace. Draw it out for your friend this week. Take a picture of it. You can recreate that. That's easy. That's first grade stuff. May you be a peacemaker and a peace bringer and a peace sharer this week. Let's pray together. Our worship team is going to come and just lead us in a moment of response. But as they prepare, would you just ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to bring peace this week? And Lord, what have I been custom fitting my life with? May we be people who put on and lace up peace, the gospel of peace that goes back to the cross. And it's the cross of Jesus that enables us to have peace with God. And if you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, I invite you to do that. You go, how do you do that? A very simple prayer, A, B, C. A, admit Jesus is the Savior, you're the sinner. B, believe. Believe on what? On the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, call on His name. The Scripture says every person who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? From sin, death, Satan, and hell. I invite you to do that this morning. If you need help doing that, I'll be here. Our elders will be here at the end of our time today. If you need to take a next step and following Jesus so you can let other people know that you are a follower of His, maybe you need to be baptized and you've never been baptized by immersion, let me help you take that next step or take that next step to being connected with a faith community called a church. Let me help you do that. Whatever you need to do, I pray that before we leave this time together that you do it. And I pray that you join me for just a couple of moments in responding in song to the Prince of Peace.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.